I remember a quote from you when we walked into that scoring tent. I'm 90% sure this was you. And I think, you know, it's been a while since you played, maybe, or maybe you had a good finish, and you finished like 24th or something. And it had to be you. And you walk in and you just went, "Mama's getting some new shoes." I was just like,
gotta take care of Mama Bear always.
That's right. She getting some new shoes this week.
And this is Will Wilcox.
There you go. There you go. Yes!
Jim Renner on the 15th hole. His third shot, you bet.
There he is.
What's happening?
All right. Not much. Excited to do this little deal, and I'm at the beach right now, just playing a little mini tour event.
There you go. Where at?
Panama City Beach, the Redneck Riviera.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. Where are you, Jim? Nice to see you, boys. By the way,
I'm just chilling at my house right now in Florida, in Orlando. So just kind of kicking it.
Nice.
Waiting to talk to the pride of Saskatchewan, man. How you been?
Yeah. I'm good, buddy. I'm good.
Yeah. Good. Feeling right? Are you full speed? Do you get to hit some shots? Or?
I can play like once, twice a week kind of thing. That's about it. That's about all my body can take.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's good enough, man.
You had a hell of a run. I guess we'll just go ahead and get rocking, huh?
Let's do it.
All right, everybody. Welcome to episode 12 of Deer Time. We've got the pride of Weyburn, Saskatchewan, the Saskatchewan Stripe Show, Graham DeLay.
Fellas, what's happening? Good to see both of you guys' faces. It's been a while.
I know. That's what Renner and I say every week. It's like we get to see dudes we haven't seen in a while, and it's a nice little reunion.
For sure. You guys are in paradise right now. I'm bundled up on my back patio here.
Is it a little chilly in Boise, or where are you at?
A little bit. Yeah, I'm in Boise. It depends. This time of year can be like amazing. It can be mid-70s, and you can get 40 degrees and some slushy rain type of stuff. So it's really? A little cool.
Yeah, but summers are perfect, though. Well, sweet. Well, so we just, you know, we just want to do a little overview of your life and career and everything. And obviously, you ended up in Boise and had a hell of a run there. But you're from Weyburn, Saskatchewan, correct? What part of the province is that in? Is that near Regina?
It's down in the south. Yeah, it's just south of Regina, like an hour south. If you took like the Montana, North Dakota border and drew it straight north, like half an hour north of the border, that's right where I grew up, right? Kind of in the middle of nowhere, just wheat fields and oil fields everywhere.
Yeah. So Saskatoon, how far is that from you? Quite a bit.
3.5-4 hours, yeah. But that's where all my family kind of lives, up in the northern part of the province now. So when I do come home, I'm usually going up there to visit friends and family and stuff now.
Yeah, the Dakotans.
Yeah, you played up there. Did you ever play Canada, Jim?
No, man, I never played the Canadian tour.
You missed out, pal. That was a time.
I know. Oppenheim and all those guys and Dre.
Yeah.
And you play great golf course up there. Every golf course I go up to in Canada, I always love. It's always good stuff.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Got to get good at your little bullets. I love that Players Cup.
Winnipeg,
it's like,
yeah.
I like, yeah, the peg. The courses. Did you win the tour championship, the one over in St. Catharines, or was that like second or something? Or
no, I didn't know. I did not win that one, no.
But you had like, I was looking at your year in 08. It looks like that was when you really came into your own.
Yeah, that was when I was pretty close to shutting it down and saying goodbye to the game, because I was pretty much out of money at the time. And
no way.
Had a little break. Yeah, we had a break in the schedule and I came home. I was pretty recently married. I got married in June that year. And this is probably like July or August. And I was just like, you know how it is. The game can beat you down. You're missing cuts on the Canadian tour. And you're like, what am I doing? If I want to try to make it to the PGA tour and I can't make cuts out here, like, this is not where I need to be. And I came back. We had like a 3-week break and breaking the schedule. And it was kind of, it's now or never type of deal. And I put my head down and dug it out of the dirt and kind of found it and went out first week back. And I won in Montreal. And then I finished second, like two of the next 3 weeks. And then all of a sudden I had confidence and I felt like I was a good player again. And, yeah. Yeah, it's weird how the game works like that.
for sure. Yeah, Renner was balling on the Hooters tour at that time. I turned pro in 09 and just did the Hoots. But yeah, it's Canada in the summer of 10 was one of my favorite summers. We were in, you know, Calgary, Edmonton Country Club, you know, it's just so sick. The one out in Vancouver on the island.
Oh yeah. In Victoria. Just what course did you guys play that year? Gorge Vale or I can't remember the name of those.
The first one sounds right. Yeah. I don't remember.
One of the tougher par fours I ever played. The up the hill one, Victoria. I mean, Vancouver.
Yeah. What did you play that Canadian Open the year that it was over there?
Shaughnessy, no, I was actually hurt that year. I had my first back surgery, so I missed that one. But that's one of my favorite golf courses in the world. And it's my number one in Canada.
Yeah, nice. That's interesting. Renner, did you play that one? Or?
Yeah, that was my first Canadian Open. Definitely the prettiest place I thought that we played that year. It, probably the prettiest place I've been to, honestly. Really cool golf course. Just, you know, Vancouver was great. And believe when we were there, the final, the Stanley Cup was going on, I think.
Probably.
Or that was 2011, but anyway. But that was a really, really cool place. And Canadian Open's a great event. I mean,
yeah. They do. And they finally got a better spot in the schedule because they used to always fall right after the Open Championship. And, I mean, RBC did a great job signing all the big dogs to, you know, try to get them to play. And so, you know, like Dustin Johnson and Jason Day, Luke Donald, when he was in his prime, and they had all those guys come, which was huge. But at that time it was like, it went, what was Canadian Open or the Open Championship, Canada, Akron, and then the PGA or something. So if a guy was going to be, you're not going to play 4 weeks in a row. So which one of those are you taking off if you're a big time player?
Yeah, I guess if you're going to take a week off, unfortunately, it was Canada at the time. But like, I got in the one at St. George's in 10 via the winning in Saskatoon. I remember meeting you there. Me, you, Hadwin, and like Brock McKenzie had this like thing to do on Tuesday. You remember that?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I do. This is that tournament. The Canadian Open's at St. George's again this year. But that one, Carl Peterson won it. And dude, he famously shot like 61 or something in the final round and admitted to having like 10 beers the night before because he thought he was going to miss the cut and fire like a 61 or something on Friday or on Saturday or Sunday. I remember, but he's a beauty.
That, I mean, you had to hit some real peaches around that place. I didn't miss the cut, but like two or three. Did you do good that week or?
I can't remember. I think I played the weekend, but that was about it.
Yeah. I know Hadwin finished like 30th and he got that low Canadian thing.
Yeah.
Oh, Hadwin. Who's your favorite current Canadian out there? I think Mackenzie Hughes is pretty filth.
He is. That Corey Connors too, man. Oh, he is an absolute flusher. So he makes the game look really easy. Danny Saul caddies for him now. He's like, fuck the lady. He's like, this kid is just so good. It's just effortless 68s and 67s, you know, kind of thing. And yeah, he's pretty pure. He's like two wins away from being like top 10 in the world type of deal. You know what I mean? Like he is legit.
Yeah. His tempo is so silky and the transition never gets hurried at all.
Yeah.
And he rolls it open a pretty good bit. His swing's very, very interesting. I played with him when he moved to Jupiter. He was a member at the Dive Reserve and I would play with him and he would just shoot 8 under every time, the smokus or ties, whatever. I mean, I always lost money to him. And he had no status and I'm just like, who is this guy?
Those guys always find their way though. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's like, there's guys that are like, they can shoot 8 under once in a while and you're like, this guy's got potential. Like, we'll see what happens in his career. There's guys that shoot 65 to 63 every time you tee it. And like the game eventually weeds everyone else out and they make it to the top.
Yeah. He Monday'd into Valero, 2 years ago and won? Like what?
Yeah, exactly.
What a savage move. You had, your best finish was third at the Houston Open. Is that right?
My rookie year. Yeah.
Yeah. Was that the one where you made that sick par from the back edge of the green?
Yeah, I made a 40 footer on 17 for birdie. And then I was in that right bunker weird. I mean, who doesn't hit it in that bunker? And I kind of chunked it out of there and hit a wedge to the back fringe and then made like a 30 foot or something. So I made like 80 feet, probably 70 feet of putts in the last two holes. So that was good. That was when my wife officially quit her job. I flew first class to the next tournament and I just thought I was on top of the world. That was it. That's when I like made it. I'm like, I got it.
The excitement on your face when you made that putt, I was always a fan just because I'd met you and I knew of you very well. I guess that was maybe before I met you, but yeah. So your rookie year was 2009.
2010.
Okay. You got your card.
That was it.
Well, in 2009. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. And so Renner, that was your rookie year as well.
No, I was 11.
11.
2011. But, like your rookie year, you had six top 25 finishes. I mean, that's a tough thing to do when you're a rookie coming out, especially old school, because you came from the old Q school, right, Graham?
Yeah. I wish it was still like that. At least they had some spots for guys to make the full jump. But so it's like I went from playing minis to basically straight to the show. I remember hitting balls next to Ernie Els and Sony Open. I was like, holy shit. And my caddy's like, hey, you got to try to beat that guy. Like, stop watching him hit balls. I'm like, wow, can't you? But
was Jules out there with you then?
Not at that time. No, I had a old South African boy. His name is Basil Van Rooyen. I don't know if you remember Basil. He caddied for me for like the first year and a half or so that I was on tour. He was a beauty.
You got to love those dudes. The guy animal that caddies for Joaquin.
Gary now. Matthews. Yeah.
Dude, what is that? That dude, the other Canadian guy, Kurt
Kowalik.
Yeah. Well, dude.
I haven't seen him in a while, actually. I don't know where he's at. I mean, obviously, I haven't played in a few years as well, basically. But,
he wrangles up some good bags, and he's funny to have a night out with, too. Holy shit. So, obviously, you killed it that year. But we'll go a little more chronological, like... So I want to talk about your Boise State, how, you know, growing up, like, I mean, were you a hockey guy? Like what was your deal when you were a kid?
I was always literally like 6 months of hockey, 6 months of golf every single year. And right as the snow was starting to melt, you put the skates away and you dust off the clubs. And as soon as you're kind of starting to get bored of, you know, playing golf and the weather started to turn, and then I got excited to put the skates back on. So I always felt like I had a good balance. You know, I was never one of those guys who was just like all in on anything. I played pretty much every sport, played volleyball in high school as well, competitive volleyball. But I know it's like, I understand like these days, it's kind of like you almost have to like be all in at 12 years old to compete, but it's a shame that kids can't just be kids anymore.
It's in Canada though, it's different. Like in Alabama, you know, I picked golf at 12 and stuck with that. Granted, I was about 60 pounds soaking wet, but, you know, up in Canada, you're kind of handcuffed a little. You got it.
Yeah.
You got to
geographically.
Move.
Yeah. So yeah, it was good, man. I always enjoyed it. And then, I wasn't recruited heavily. I didn't have much of a junior golf resume in all fairness. Like I won a lot of tournaments around Saskatchewan, but anytime I went to any one of the bigger ones across Canada, I just kind of fell through the cracks. I just didn't have my best stuff. And so Boise State was basically the best offer that we had financially. And that's kind of how I ended up there. But I didn't even come on a recruiting trip, just said, yep, that's, I think I had like 75% scholarship or something my first year, and said, I'm in. So drove down. It was like a 17-hour drive. My dad came down with me and he flew home and said, good luck, kid. And that was about it.
Man. Just right into the fire. That's good though. I mean, you had a ridiculous career. I think Troy Merritt maybe won one more tournament than you did.
I'm not too sure. Well, Troy only played there for 2 years, but I think I won 10 times. I think Troy might've won the same, but he did in 2 years. So he was almost unbeatable there for a while. He was, he had a great college career.
He absolutely did. So you'd pop over for some AJGAs and things like that.
I only ever played one, and it was in Calgary, and same thing. I finished like 40th or something like that. So there was no recruitment of any kind, really.
Yeah. As a kid, like, who got you playing? Who got you started?
Yeah, both my parents played. And I was kind of that kid. And, you know, when I was like 13, 14, they got dropped off before work, and then parents went and played 54 holes or whatever, and then get picked up and maybe play another nine with my dad after work. And that was kind of like, I look back now, I'm like, man, those people must have been so sick of me out there every single day, like literally playing minimum 36. I never practiced really at all. We didn't have a great practice facility anyways, but we just played. I had like two good buddies. We just played all the time, nonstop.
Pretty standard stuff. I guess Renner can sympathize with you being in Boston. I mean, that's a 6 month golfing season, eh?
Yeah, I mean, exactly what Graham said. I mean, it seems like we had very similar, you know, ways that we grew up, I guess, you know, playing golf, same thing. The winter would come around and be, and then you'd be playing, like I played basketball growing up. I never really got into hockey. But then once the snow started to melt, you'd just be like looking out the window in the classroom waiting, like, I got to get out there and like go play golf. And same thing, you know, you get dropped off at the golf course, you'd be running around there all day and your parents come back from work, they pick you up and you go home and then you go over and do it all over again. But it's nice when you have your buddies there and stuff like that. And I mean, that had to have been, you know, a way that probably shaped your competitive fire and you wanting to be a like professional golfer. At that time, were you just thinking, this is a fun thing to do? Or was it something you really want to do?
No, maybe? Never. I always wanted to play in the NHL, man. And I was a decent hockey player, but I never had that in me. But it wasn't until like when I was 18, I hurt my back playing hockey pretty bad. It was like the first time, like I was like in bed for basically like a week straight, just couldn't really move. And that's when my dad's like, you know, you're a pretty good golfer. Like, why don't we look for a scholarship or something and, you know, get on with your life kind of thing. And that's kind of how it all worked out. But like, I look back to like the golf course that I played on, tiny little like turtleback greens, all of them kind of falling off, and played in massive winds every single day. It just blows. You're just in the prairies. There's nothing to stop it. And, you know, like that's how I became like a kind of a shot maker, because that's, you had to, or else if you hit the ball high and soft with spin, you're getting eat. The ball's just getting eat up. So it's kind of playing things down and playing it low and working it into the wind. And even though I wasn't really like good at it at the time, but that's, and when I look back, you know, as I've gone through my career and everything, like the weeks that, you know, it's pumping wind or it's demanding golf shots or whatever it is, like those are always the tournaments normally that I played well, unless I got a hot putter on a easy golf course. But it's always the tougher courses, tougher conditions that were best for me.
Yeah, you're definitely known for your ball striking prowess. And would you say that on your swing, you're like looking for like a narrow follow through, like you're, you know, kind of sending the angle kind of soon? Because it seems like you're like it's Seve, like you're not gonna hit that wall in front of you.
I honestly don't know. Like I don't watch my video. I've never had a swing coach or anything like that. So yeah.
Never had.
And
a swing
every coach. Time. No, and every time I see my swing, it looks different than it feels. So I usually just try to avoid watching my golf swing pretty much at all times. Yeah. Because it just looked weird to me.
One of the things I remember playing with you, it was the first time I ever played with you in a tournament. It was the Houston Open, actually.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, I had the college coach I had at Oklahoma. He was with Brant Snedeker at Vanderbilt first before he came to Oklahoma. And he's like, Brant said to him, I guess, oh, the great players, they hit their long irons really high and their shorter irons real low. I remember you like did that to a tee, which I thought was so like cool, because you'd hit the four iron straight up in the air, work it both ways, but then you'd have a nine iron and the thing would just be so low under the wind, whatever, and you'd make it stop on a dime. So, I mean, I always said, you know, if people ask who's some of the best ball strikers I ever play with, I mean, your name's definitely one of the first ones that always comes up, because you could, like, it almost goes to what you said, how you grew up, you're hitting shots. You just grew up with like finesse it into little like tight pins and whatnot.
Yeah. And I feel like thanks by the way for saying that, Thea. I feel like a lot of the guys just become like, they hit just your driving range 7 iron,
knock.
And that's how they just go play. You know what I mean? And it's just like, that's not really golf. Like you can do that on the range and, you know, but it's different. How often do you have like a perfect 7 iron with no wind that is like a 178 shot? And like, oh, there's a perfect 7 iron. It happens like once, maybe every 4 rounds, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, my college coach, Kevin Byrne, he played on tour in 97 and he was kind of like my mentor. And like, he was a guy that like showed me shots. We didn't really work technically on swings, but he's like, how do you hit that little low one? It's like, and you know, just like, you know, back your stance, abbreviate the fall through, hang on to it, whatever kind of, you know, things with, and hitting half shots. Cause that's like the big thing that you see, I think, with guys that are like close. And then the guys that are there, there's a lot of half shots, like a lot. And that's what I would like tell like a lot of kids around here too. It's like, what do I need to do? I'm like, dude, I'm like, don't try to hit your 5-iron 230 yards, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
hit your 5-iron 206 yards and work on the flights a little bit and that kind of stuff. So like, I could never like coach, but I could like mentor type of thing, because like, I don't know positions or anything like that, but I know I can teach them like, you know, this is what you got to do. If you want to hit it high, just move it up a little bit in your stance and have that nice high hands through the finish. And it's like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah, that's all you, basically all you got to do.
For sure. And the course management help is huge. I'm sure you manage your game very well around there. I remember playing with you. It seemed like you hit a lot of three woods. Last time I played with you was in like 17 at Dallas. I believe in the final round, it was me, you, and Mark Leishman.
Okay.
I remember
yellow you, ball.
Yellow right, ball time.
Yellow yeah. Strix on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are
yeah.
you still playing the yellow egg?
Nah, I'm playing I'm playing the Pro V now.
Nice.
Cause you know, Strixon, I was with him for a long time, but, eventually, you know, the driver thing. And I mean, I love those Strixon guys, but, yeah, just, I ended up going with that Pro V, the recommended. But I remember a quote from you when we walked into that scoring tent. I'm 90% sure this was you. And I think, you know, it's been a while since you played maybe, or maybe had a good finish and you finished like 24th or something. And, it had to be you. And you walk in and you just went, Mama's getting some new shoes. I was just like,
gotta take care of Mama Bear. Always.
That's right. She getting some new shoes this week. And I've been using that ever since. So I stole that. I'm sorry.
That's good.
If there's any sort of cash infusion, it's like Mama's getting some new shoes.
That's right.
But anyways, that was last time I played with you. When was your last start? When did you tee it up last?
I played, the last one I played was Houston. Holy shit, what year is this right now? I feel like those last 3 years have been so weird, but
yeah.
Houston 2020. Cause I didn't play at all last year in 2021. Yeah, it was just, I decided to go back. I played 4 events and that might have been like my fourth in a row or something, and halfway through Friday the back just kind of gave out and I couldn't really even get the golf ball out of the hole anymore, and that's the last tournament that I played. It's just can't do it. And you know what, if it was just playing 4 rounds of golf and that was it, I could probably do that and then just get worked on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But I mean, there's no preparation at all. I can't practice, I can't put in the time. And then mentally, if you don't think that you have a chance, you have absolutely zero chance. And that's kind of the point that I got to. Like, even if I was feeling the first few events back, I was feeling decent physically and like better than I had played a lot of my career when I was, even when I was playing well, but, it just, there was no preparation. And like, I used to, even if I wasn't the guy who like practiced the longest, I always felt like I was really prepared. I did everything that I needed to do, whether it was like gym and practice and whatever it was mentally. And then I always like believed that I had a chance Thursday morning before I hit my opening tee shot. And I just didn't have that the last few times I went out. And once you're kind of start checking out a little bit mentally, it's pretty tough.
Yeah. You are not lying. We've all been through it.
Really bothering you. Like, obviously you mentioned the hockey incident, where you hurt your, but so was that
honestly,
thing? Because yeah, I, someone who's clearly, unfortunately just had that, always kind of be the thing that derailed you.
Yeah, the first time, like, I mean, the first time I ever like really really heard it was 18, when I was 18. But even when I was like 15 years old playing hockey, like we'd come in between periods and I'd be like laying down and stretching my back in between periods. And when you're 15 years, there's no 15 year old to do that. So it's been like a thing for like a long long time. And then from the point when I was like 18 on, like through college, it was always like 1 or 2 weeks a year where I'd have like massive flare ups and I wouldn't be able to touch a club for whatever it was, like a week or whatever. And then, but when you're 18, 19, 20 years old, you bounce back pretty quick. And as you get older and out a couple of surgeries and a few other procedures, the body just doesn't bounce back like it used to.
No shit. Yeah. So you think it was just the wear and tear of your body, like just getting checked into the glass or what?
No, I don't know. I honestly don't know. And like, I'm obviously, you know, the game of golf itself is pretty hard on the spine. We all know that. Like, there's not a golfer in the world at 40 years old that doesn't have something going on with his neck or his back to some degree. But yeah, I'm not really sure exactly. Maybe just genetically, I was just predisposed to it. I'm not really sure, but
yeah. My dad's got bad neck. So yeah, I mean, there's no aggressive rotation happening.
Yeah.
But Dear Time listeners, what's up? We are excited to announce that Sub 70 is our newest sponsor. I've been playing their clubs for 6 months. I just absolutely can't get enough of them. The apparel's awesome. The clubs are great. The hats are sick. Anyway, Sub 70 is excited to announce that their brand new 659 forged irons are now available, featuring three distinct models, a cavity back, a tour cavity, and a muscle back. The 659 series is a fantastic option for any low to mid handicap player. By utilizing a direct-to-consumer business model, Sub 70 is able to sell custom-built, high-quality equipment at roughly half the cost of other brands. How about that? The 659 series starts at $654 for a six-piece iron set. Sub70.com. Expectations redefined. Dear Time listeners, we're excited to announce Birdie Golf LLC as a new sponsor. Birdie Golf LLC is your caddy into the Web3 world with products such as their Titus Collection NFTs, the Birdie Crypto Wallet, and Utility Token, all built using blockchain technologies. Birdie Golf LLC uses Web3 technologies to help normal golfers and crypto enthusiasts alike keep up with their digital assets. Birdie Wallet is a one-stop shop for all your crypto needs. Buy, swap, transfer all your digital assets in one easy-to-use app, as well as head on over to the trending page to see the latest in the golf and crypto world. Birdie's NFT series, the Titus Collection, offers holders of the NFT discounts on hashtag under par life merchandise, as well as grant you access to course teaching professionals for virtual lessons, equipment giveaways, weekly instructional videos, equipment recommendations, and much more to come. Birdie Golf LLC is on all major social media platforms, including Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Discord, and their website is birdietoken.io. That's birdietoken.io. Can't thank them enough, and stay dear. Dear Time is super stoked to have ChicagoGolfApparel.com hop on board as a sponsor. In the last 5 years, these guys have dabbled in the merch game, but they're mostly known for their original Chicago golf towel, their big cash scrambles, and their junior golf programs local to Chicago. These guys are paying it forward and helping the kids, so you gotta love that. These guys are starting to drop some of the sickest head covers in the game, selling worldwide. Each of their new designs have their own collection of products, primarily focusing on driver head covers, fairway head covers, putter head covers, tour towels, and ball markers. Some of the products will remain in their store at all times, but some of them are just a one-time limited release, so hop on that. They will release over 100 new products in just 2022 alone. Chicago Golf is big on collaborations, though, and they have some big ones dropping with some big brands that you're all definitely familiar with, and most of their designs are made to capture the heart and soul of Chi-Town. We've seen that from some of their designs so far, like their White Castle one. That one's sick. You can check these guys out by visiting ChicagoGolfApparel.com. That's ChicagoGolfApparel.com. And be sure to find them on social as well as Chicago Golf. Stay dear, everybody, and cheers, Chicago Golf. But, well, cool. So we'll go back a little bit. I want to hear a little bit about Boise State. Were you guys solid? I mean, you're winning all these damn tournaments and, you know, just balling out of control. I mean, were you guys ranked? I mean, did you go to nationals?
No, we never even made it to regionals as a team. We had always two or three pretty good players, and we just never really get those four and five scores, you know? And like we had enough guys to like do it, but we just could never really like put it together, so to speak. But, those guys are still all my buddies, and nice. You know, one of them was best man at my wedding. I was just up at his wedding a few years ago as well. So it's like those are relationships that last forever. And you know, you're looking back, it's like does it really matter if you were a good team in college? Did you guys have fun? And we all did, that's for sure.
100%. My college, I know Renner had a good time down at Johnson Wells with Mike Welch. But I went to Clayton State, and my starting five, my first year was me and four Scottish guys, which is amazing. And they weren't that good at golf, but they're just total legends. And then eventually it turned into me, three Canadians and one Scottish guy, one from Edmonton, one from Grand Prairie, and one from Toronto. And
how old are you?
I'll be 36 in a month.
Okay. A little younger than me then.
Yeah. What year did you graduate at Boise, by the way?
06, but I took a year off after high school. That's when I like hurt my back. And then I was on the 5-year program at college because I kind of was fucking around a little bit.
I was on the 6-year program, no degree. So that's something to be proud of.
I did graduate though.
I said, Boise's a fun place. I was very impressed with Boise. So I could see how you could have a good time out there, no doubt.
It's a sleeper town. Well, not really anymore. There's a lot of people moving here right now. But yeah, the downtown's awesome. And I live in Eagle, but you cross the road and you're in Boise or whatever. But yeah, it's a good spot. This is usually one of the guys that play like Webb or Corn Ferry or whatever. This is usually one of their favorite stops of the year.
Oh, yeah. It's the best. They had a theater downtown that they were playing the Big Lebowski in. And it seemed to happen here in some old theater. The Egyptian. But yeah, great town. I remember one year I missed the cut and ended up at like some house party. And it was like, I just stumbled upon a house party and like, come on. But yeah, Boise is a great town. That Hillcrest, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a fun little track. It's a little, times passed it by or whatever, but it's a fun little country club.
Yeah. What's the one that you play out farther in Eagle?
I play at Spurwing.
Spurwing. I've played that many times with this guy named Jay. His son plays for Northern California, Sonoma State.
Golf?
Yeah, he plays golf. The son's probably like 20 now. Jay Rinke.
Oh, yeah. Josh. Is that his son? Josh? Or,
I believe so.
Yeah. Rinke. Yeah. Oh, that's good cool.
Good folks.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
I've become quite good friends with them to this day. Cool. But yeah, so you obviously stripe show in college, and then it looks like you finished second in the Edmonton Open. That had to be kind of cool in 05 while you're still in college.
That was an am. I was an amateur. I should have won that. I hit one OB on like the 12th hole on Sunday or whatever. But that would have been pretty cool to win one of those as an amateur. And then it's like, holy shit, I should turn pro. I would have made like 13,000 this week. Like, what am I doing in college right now? This is stupid.
Was that at the country club?
Edmonton Country Club. Yeah.
Yeah. That what 15 or whatever, some hole in the back nine towards the end is a tight little mother.
Yeah. I can't remember what hole I hit that, but I know that, I think Matt McQuillan won. Do you remember Matt McQuillan?
Yeah.
Yeah. He won. And I think he shot like 5 or 6 under on the back nine and nipped me by like 1 or 2, but, I didn't hold it against him.
He had a little run. He had a nice run.
Yeah.
As did Dustin Risden.
Oh yeah.
He was a savage. And who else? This great Canadians. Obviously, Mike Weir. I guess he kind of carries the torch still a little bit. But I mean, Mo Norman's my favorite Canadian golfer ever.
I know. I never got to meet Mo. I'm like one of the few kind of my age, like professional golfers that never met him. I had the chance kind of one time to, I would have had to drive a few hours and never did. And then now I kind of, wish that I would have. It's always easy to say, when it's too late. But it's like listening to Tom Petty now. I'm like, fuck, how did I never go to a Tom Petty concert?
Yeah. Love that was Tom one of Petty. That was my second concert ever was Tom Petty in Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm going to Deftones in a week.
Nice. I'm going to Eric Church tomorrow night. I'm pretty excited about that one.
That will be good. Is that the chicken fried song, the country song?
No, that's Zach Brown. Isn't it? Yeah.
Zach Brown.
You're not a country guy. It's okay.
Concerts and he was the best man. That was the best concert I do.
Which
concert, Renner?
Tom Petty.
Oh yeah, so good. And except for when he played "Learning to Fly Slow," I was like, no, because it's such a jam when it's fast. But
have you guys ever been to a Kid Rock concert? That's my number one I've ever been to. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
I'm not even a big Kid Rock fan. Plays every single instrument. He raps. He like does it all. And he like everyone is just like he has everyone at the finger at his fingertips. And so he's a fucking rock star. That's how you do it.
Yeah, he is definitely a ridiculous musician. That I mean, he gets the props that he deserves, but it's like, you know, the fact that he's that efficient on every instrument on stage, like kind of overlooked a little bit. You got to see him live to see that performance. He lives in, he's a Jupiter guy, and he used to he played at Tequesta Country Club, and he's got a one-legged brother. And his one-legged brother would kind of hop out there, smoke one about 240 down the middle, and hop back to the car.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's it was sweet. Badass. It was really, really cool. But I'd see him from a distance. I never had the balls to go say hello. You're in Boise, and I don't know, like the Sunshine Tour. What was that like?
Yeah. So the one year I finished like fourth or something on the Canadian Tour Order of Merit, and the top five guys on the tour that year, for whatever reason, they had like some sort of agreement with the Sunshine Tour that you could go and play. You basically have status if you wanted to play. I'm like, fuck, I'll go. Because I was just playing Gateway Tour down in Arizona, you know, with like James Love, Bear Jarosh, Andres, Drew Stoltz, all those guys for like three straight years. I'm like sick of this. Like, it's the same guys on the exact same golf courses every time. I'm like, I got to go switch it up. So I flew down there just to play two events, and they were actually co-sanctioned events with the European Tour at the time. And I finished like 12th in both of them. So I played pretty good. Flew home, and then I'm like, what am I doing home? I'm like, I should go back there, because like we're playing for peanuts on the Gateway Tour, and same thing. It was like, you're just kind of bored. So I'm like, fuck, I'm going back for another two. So I went back for another two. And at that time they had top 10 on the money list would get to, final stage in Europe, and you were guaranteed some starts or whatever. And because their money list, a lot of their events were such small purses, but the two European Tour events that I played obviously were a lot bigger purses. So I was in decent shape on their money list. So I'm like, I'm going back, and I finished second 2 weeks in a row, and then flew home. So now I was like fourth on the list. I'm like, okay, sweet. I'm like, because I've failed through Q school here like two or three times in a row. I'm like, well, at least I got to final stage in Europe now. Like, at least I got like a chance, and I'll probably get challenged to, or at worst, I'll play over there. Well, then my agent's like, bad news. You have to play five events to qualify for this thing. I'm like, you've got to be kidding. So I flew to Johannesburg for the third time that winter. And then I won that event. And so that kind of sealed it up. And so then I was like, that was my plan. I'm like, I'm going to go play Europe this year. But while I'm in the US, I'm still going to do Q school. And I ended up getting through Q school. So I never went over and played Europe, but it's like, it's one of those things you always like wonder how life would be so different. Like, you know, if I didn't get through second stage here, I might be living in fucking a flat in London and whatever, you know what I mean? Like, but I'm obviously happy that I'm here in Boise and my wife and family and everything like that. But, it's crazy how close you are to having like a completely different life.
Yeah. Yeah. And you ended up with like, you have place lived in Scottsdale for a while, right?
I did. Yeah. Until we had our kids, basically. Then we just kind of needed a support system, needed some help. And the summers were so hot that, you know, kids just want to be outside, and you couldn't even really take your kids outside. So we moved back here. My wife's sister and my mother both live here. So a little bit of help, which is needed with twins. So.
Yeah. Oh, you guys have twins?
Yeah. Boy and a girl. They're six. They're six now. But those first few years are crazy. And that's all on my wife, because I mean, I was playing full time, like through all of it, and we were all traveling together. And she was pretty amazing.
That had to be a pretty intense traveling with infants.
Dude, I got some pictures. If I can find it, I'll send it to you. You know, the club gloves that like you can train them on each other. Like you can like hook them up or whatever. Mm-hmm. We had like five or six of those in a row. I'm pushing my golf bag in front of me. I got like a car seat on my back. Ruby's pushing the double stroller with a car seat on her back. We're going through, and it's like, people are like looking at us like, what are you? This is like a traveling circus, but do what you got to do. It was fun.
The game, right? I mean,
yeah.
Showing up like Eddie Murphy and Arsenio and Coming to America. So that you were on the PGA Tour doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah. See, we've been able to do that on the minis.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, yeah, travel wise, cost wise, but that's wild. Like, people just, you know, they don't know that you're lugging all that luggage, you know, and you got children with you. Like, people just want to see good scores. They don't understand what's going on behind the scenes. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. I remember one time we were in at Riviera and I was playing decent. I was probably like 20th or so through two rounds. And then, and we had conjoining rooms at a hotel, but like our kids were just like, they were young. They were like 3 months old, 6 months old, whatever it was. And they were just crying all night. So even with conjoining rooms, I could hear them. I didn't get a wink of sleep. Still played okay on Saturday. But that night I'm like, Ruby, I'm like, I'm getting my own hotel room. And they were sold out in my hotel. So I went, there was like a Ritz-Carlton. I'm like, fuck it, I'm treating myself. I didn't sleep at all. I got laid down in this like Ritz-Carlton bed with these fluffy pillows and beautiful mattress and slept like 12 hours that night and peeled off a little top 10 out of nowhere. So it was good.
Nice, nice. I mean, you made up like, what? You made some good cash on tour. I should have looked it up before we started, but I mean, you had a hell of a run.
Yeah, man, it was, I mean, I never won. That was like the only thing. I had a bunch of seconds and thirds and, you know, top tens or whatever. And, thankfully, Briony Baird, I think, has the record for most top tens without a win, and not me, because that's a record you don't really want to have, but it does like, you know, like it was good, man. It was yeah. A good run. I'm happy that the game of golf, what it's given me and everything, but
absolutely.
That's my only regret, is never getting the win. And I feel like I always felt like if I would have gotten one early, it would have taken the weight off my shoulders and I might have gotten a couple more or something, but I didn't. And it was always the putter that let me down. I got tight on the weekends no matter what when I was in contention, and that was always the difference.
Yeah, freak out Friday, freak out Sunday. so I always called it that. I think I said that the last like four episodes. Yeah, that's you had an amazing career. And how many events? You played over 200, like 200?
No, not quite. I think like 180 events. I never got my 150 cuts either, which I really wanted to do. I think I was like 20. I either made 128 cuts or 122, and I was like 22 short or 20. I think I made 128 cuts. Anyways, it's like, it'd be nice to be able to call yourself a tour member your whole life, you know, and you get, you know, TPC benefits and all the other stuff that goes along with it, but body just wouldn't let me do it, unfortunately. But it was a good run.
Yeah, you made hay while the sun was shining. That's pretty, it's an interesting route you took for sure. And how about the pressure in the Canadian Open as a Canadian? What's that like? That's gotta be.
Yeah, it was always tough. And I don't know how guys like Rory and Tiger and DJ or all the guys that are getting pulled in every direction every single week, like how they manage it. It's unbelievable. Cause like I'm used to showing up, unless I maybe like was in contention the weekend before, nobody really wants to talk to me and nobody really cares. Yeah. But you get to the Canadian Open and you're like, you're doing media every, you know, after every round, you're doing media on the Tuesday and Wednesday in the actual media room. And you're, you know, you have sponsor stuff like this and you have to play the Monday Pro-Am. And I felt like by the time you got to Thursday, I was just so tired all the time.
Yeah.
And it was always like, man, I just got to treat this like a regular week, but it just wasn't a regular week. But it's always great playing at home because there's just the Canadians want Canadian to win that so bad, and you can feel it. And there's been a couple of guys who have gotten close, you know, the last few years. And I just hope that it happens so that we don't have to keep hearing about it. But, yeah, I'm actually going to be up there this year. I'm not playing, but I've started doing some work with TSN on the media side or whatever. So I'll be up there this year. So hopefully I can be up there and experience one of those kids winning it.
Yeah. Is Johan Benson, does he work for TSN or?
He works for RDS, which is the French TSN. Yeah. So he was, I saw him down at Augusta the last few years. I just basically do all the majors for him or whatever, but the Canadian Open, they added in this year. They want to try to, you know, kind of beef up the attention that it's getting nationally or whatever. So that'll be pretty cool actually.
So you were at Augusta this year?
Yeah.
Cool. I was there on Saturday. It was pretty amazing to watch Tiger.
That was the like cold, windy, like brutal day. Oh, was that your first time ever there?
a second. I went in 2000. I went in 2000. But yeah, it was so cold, but I had a couple layers on. It was good, but it was still just being there. I mean, I walked every hole. It was just sick. So do you like hang out in that media area? Like that real dope?
So we're like in studio. So like if you're, you know, when you watch the Golf Channel and like behind them is a practice facility, we're in the studio right next to them. So we basically had the same view kind of that they had. Like if I lean back, I can see like Oberholzer and Noda and those guys just kind of right there. Andy North and those guys from ESPN are just on the other side.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool. And you're like play by playing it? Or is it
no, like just like analyst type stuff or whatever. Like, breaking things down. Why is this guy? We do a lot of stuff on the Canadians, obviously, because it's a Canadian TSN or Sports Center type thing. But obviously, we talked a lot of Tiger and it was pretty awesome. I just saw that he was at Tulsa today. Playing a practice round for Southern Hills for the PGA. So that's good. I'm going to be at that one too, for working for those guys. So it's different when he's in the field, man. You guys know that. It's insane. The buzz and just the aura.
You couldn't get anywhere near him. I mean, just even trying to see him on the putting green, it was impossible. I know you did really well in the PGA in 17. What other good major finishes, like what other highlights did you have? I mean,
that was my best major. Quail Hollow, I finished seventh. The one in Louisville, I actually played really well. I three putted the last two holes to finish like 15th. I was in the top 10 there kind of like all week long. I was playing nice, but other than that, it was kind of my best. I only played one Masters, missed the cut. I played three British Opens and I always felt like that was a good week for me. But just kind of never really played my best type of thing. Made two of the three cuts and had the worst missed cut of my life with a bad tee time. Oh my God. Yeah, I played my balls off in like, you know, when like the pins, they're like bouncing, it's blowing so hard. I shot like one over on Friday or whatever. And I was like, when I finished, I was in like 80th, but I'm like, oh, this is good. But I was early. So I went home, had a little nap, turned on Sky Sports and the flags are just like hanging like this. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I ended up missing by like two, but that's how it goes over there. You kind of need a little bit of luck and you obviously need to play good golf too, but
yeah, you'd have been in contention had that not. Yeah.
That's just such a strange tournament because it's like there's different tournaments going on at that point.
Yeah.
For the morning.
That's my favorite tournament I've ever played though. If I could only ever play one the rest of my life, I'd go back and play that in a heartbeat.
Nice. And so did you ever play it at St. Andrews or?
Yeah. Yeah. 2015. It's pretty special.
That was the Louis. No, Louis was 10.
No. Who won that one? Zach Johnson.
Yeah. Nice. Did you ever have a John Deere sponsorship? I feel like you did.
No, I wish. I got this big yard to mow. I wouldn't mind having one.
You're just smoking meats back there these days, right?
Yeah, that's right. I'm actually doing a little upgrade to my, I'd show you, but it's kind of embarrassing how all my smokers are just kind of sitting there. It looks terrible right now. I got a little outdoor kitchen that I'm building here right now. So
nice. Did it's Prairie Bard, right? Prairie Bard?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that still rocking? You got it in some places?
Yeah. So it's actually doing pretty good in Idaho. Cause I can like be here. It's tough in Canada because I'm not there to like promote it. Like here, I'll like go out and pour like a men's night or whatever and have beers with guys and kind of talk about her to go to like a grocery store and promote it or whatever kind of thing. But so I'm like here and have boots on the ground, but in Canada it's struggling a bit. I mean, but here it's doing pretty well. It's been fun. It's nice. Like it's at basically all the golf courses here. So you play a round of golf, you can always go in and have a pint of your own beer at the end of the day. It's that's pretty cool. So
that's gotta be nice. It's fun. Beer on tap after you finish a round.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. And all the guys like it here and most of them drink. And I always tell them like, dude, you don't have to drink that because I'm sitting at the table. Cause I'll have like a couple Bud Lights and then I'll like come in or whatever. And I'll like, oh yeah, can I get a couple Bards over here? I'm like, boys, you don't have to do that. It's okay. Like, drink what you want to drink. You don't have to.
The logo's great. Cause it was modeled after the beard that you had, right?
Yeah. So Bard is Dutch for beard. Dalet is like a Dutch name. So that's kind of how that all like came across or whatever. But, yeah.
I was hoping that would really take off. I thought the logo was badass and everything. I mean, do you like do merch with that or anything or,
We have a little bit. I'll send you guys a hat.
That'd be awesome. That would be a really, really cool thing to rock. I'd do wear it all the time.
And do you ever bring the gram anyway? Or I know you're shaving right now.
A little bit. You know what though, man? I got all this gray that's starting to, if it was all gray, I wouldn't mind. It's like a patch here and a patch here, and it just doesn't look good anymore. So I can't fake and do just for men. So once it's more white, then I'll probably bring it back. But I always grow a beard in the winter, but I kind of keep it tamed down a little bit because it gets pretty scraggly. And those gray hairs kind of have minds of their own. They just kind of do whatever they want. So you can't tame it down.
Yeah.
Not that it was ever tamed anyways.
I battle that ferociously now.
Yeah. I've seen a couple of gray hairs pop up in there. Yeah. I just grow Joe Dirt facial hair. So it's no, it's nothing too special here either.
So you didn't tell me, is your event done now? You played today or is it another round? How many?
One more round. Yeah. Played today.
Are you leading?
Leading. Yeah.
Nice.
One bogey in 36 holes.
There you go.
And I'm at 9. There's another guy at 9. We had a 2-shot cushion on 3rd and a 4-shot cushion on 4th. So, you know, probably going to be.
What tour is it?
It's called the Emerald Coast Tour. Everybody threw in $900. And there was 10, but one guy just, you know, shot a wad and bailed. First place 4K, second place 2K, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm just glad to be playing.
Buy mama some new shoes.
My mama's some new shoes. Exactly. I was thinking that today. I was like, man, if I can play good tomorrow, then mama get new shoes. But yeah, my girl's down here with me. She's down on the beach. I can actually see her from here. I got a guy that's helping me play now. Nice. I mean, I did before too, but now I've proven that I'm not a complete idiot and that I'm going to be focused. And so, yeah, a free week at the beach. Count me in.
Nice. Yeah, I know that I've told you this so many times or whatever, but I just like loved your game. I like just like natural athletic moves. They're not like these like cookie cutter swings that are just like perfect. Everyone's got these and like told you lots. So I'm like, fuck, man. I'm like when Jules is caddying for me, I'm like, I love this game. I love this kid's game. It's just this yellow ball though. I don't know about that, but let's. Yeah.
I was just milking that for Strixon. That was their.
Are
that
you
was
still
their
playing Renner?
Vaguely, I mean, like a little, but I've been dealt the same cards as you with like surgery and stuff like that. It's been a whole pain in the ass, honestly. Yeah. You know, but that's just shit. That's just how it goes. I mean, what are you gonna do? But I don't know.
Not many people are lucky enough to choose their own ending, man. Unfortunately,
that's a good quote.
It'd be pretty sick to just like win the Masters and just walk off and say you're done. Doesn't get any better.
Yeah, I feel like Boo Weekly kind of had a career like that. I know he's battled injuries too, but he always planned on just killing it, which he did, and then just kind of fading.
Oh man, how pure was that guy? Jesus.
Yeah, he had some hands, and I remember
he was so fun to play with.
Yeah, he, in practice rounds especially, he'd start singing Merle Haggard, you know, and with all the crowds and everybody. I mean, he was so good with that image, and he just absolutely killed it with it.
I was playing with him as the best Boo story. I was playing with him in Puerto Rico. I think it was like the fifth or sixth hole is a par five is reachable, and we're waiting on the tee, right? So he takes his chuo and he grabs his can and he like puts it back in. He kind of shakes it up and he puts it back in his pocket. I'm like, did you just recycle your chew? He's like, yeah, I always recycle my chew. I'm like, but you're a millionaire. He goes, multi.
He is the man. And then when he won Colonial a few years back, it was just like, good God. Like, this guy is just an absolute striper. And I heard he came to the party the next year in the plaid jacket or whatever, with nothing on, with like, he just, you know, it was just bare chested. And, you know, obviously, so he's a physical specimen. So, he's the man. He had hunting property 10 minutes from my mom's house. So when I was growing up, or at least right when I turned pro, I would hang out with him at this. I'd play golf with him and then go to the hunting property. And one time we drove from, it was a 35-minute drive, and he had 9 natural lights.
Yeah, he's not like a fake. He doesn't fake it at all. What his image is exactly as is. He's a beauty. He's one of my favorites to ever play with.
Get lessons with Scott Hamilton, go to Scott Hamilton's house, and you want a beer? I was like, okay. open up the fridge and it's all natural lights. Like, kind of a random thing. Like, what's with the natural? Oh, those are all booze. I was like, first realized he drinks that. I thought that was great, though. I was like, the only guy on tour I think that drinks natural. Some of those guys don't even know what it is.
Yeah, the 30 pack for $16. That was all we drank in college, and that's what he drinks now. Whether he's boozing much now or not, I have no idea, but I know he's got a nice little place down in just outside of Pensacola. So he's still living in the Redneck Riviera, which is right where I am right now.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool, bro. I mean, yeah, I'm just glad we were able to line this up. I think, you know, I want to talk about the World Cup. You played two World Cups back to back, and one was with Disco Stew.
I was sponsored by Jay Lindenberg at the time. So I had, like, you know, kind of bright, like, yellow pants, like teal pants, red pants, like whatever. And we had like matching outfits for the week, and Stu and all the JL gear. Oh fuck, it was a beautiful thing. But
he wore those pants a lot.
Yeah. Play, man. He was really good. I actually just saw, I congratulated him on Twitter because he just got a job as like superintendent at some golf course in Alberta. So he's kind of obviously now hung him up and he's doing that. But yeah, he could play. And then I played with Wes Heffernan the second time. I can't remember which one I played with which, but
Looks like Wes.
Yeah, we had to go. Yeah, so with Wes, we had to go to Poland to qualify. We qualified and then went to China for the World Cup. And then with Stu, we had to go to Estonia, qualified there, and then went to China for the World Cup. So it was pretty cool. But when you're playing like mini tours and all of a sudden you're just like dropped right into like a $6 million purse, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's super sick. And also, I want to ask you about that Canadian national team. Like, obviously, being an American, it'd be pretty hard to get on the national team, and I was never able to do so. What was that like? Did you guys travel south and, you know, get some nice reps in and like Scottsdale or something? Like, what would you
do? A little bit. And they sent us to a lot of like different amateur tournaments around the world. Like, I played one down in Argentina, went to
Scotland,
like a team event. No, never Scotland. They do send guys there too. Played one in Japan, played the Aussie Am one year. So they kind of sent their top players around and paid for, which obviously when you're 19 years old and in college, you would never be able to afford to do any of that or whatever. So, and then we did like camps maybe down in Scottsdale or down in Florida, like once or twice a winter kind of thing, just to get the guys together and get a little practice in or whatever. But they're doing a really good job with their development. There's going to be a lot more Canadians. I think this year they set a record. There's like seven, including me, because I technically still have my card, but there's seven full card carrying members on the PGA Tour, and that's a record right now. So they're doing a good job developing players now. And like I think they've decided that you can't use geography as an excuse, and they're just kind of moving forward. So it's good.
Yeah. Svensson, man. I think Svensson's going to be, I mean, he's already the real deal, but the amount of times that he's hit 18 greens, I think it's like two or three times a season already. And one of them is a PGA National. I've never played with him.
Come on.
Yes, a PGA.
So we're in California one time. This is like me and Dre were hanging out. It was after some tournament. I can't remember what it was. And like Honda was next week. And I'm like, oh, you playing Honda? Dre's like, fuck no, that course is way too hard for me. Just takes a week off. It's too hard. That place is tough. That's the hardest course on tour.
It's absolutely brutal. I made the cut there one time and was pretty excited about it. Which, if I could have ever been striping it, that low ball, you could really bust heads out there.
I always like that place.
Just no let up. It's just relentless out there.
No, I know. It's too much.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I think 14 should be part of the bear trap because that thing is a fucking beast.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, there's no let up there. But that was like you said, I mean, Dre and I talked that one year. And like, I mean, I won the Optimus tournament there as a kid. So I was like, oh, nice. Like, can't wait to play like the Honda event. And I go there. I don't want to play this event anymore.
Yeah. Same thing at it Torrey. Like, you balled out at Torrey as a kid.
Yeah, those are the two events that like ass out there. That just makes sense to me. But oof, I mean, to hit 18 straight greens.
That's insane, actually.
Yeah. That's, Hadwin's a superior. He's a good player, great player. But I really think Svenny's ability to flight the ball is going to serve him very, very well.
Nice. Yeah, I've heard good things about his game. I've never seen him play, but numbers speak for themselves, man. Like I said, the cream always rises, and the guys, like, because he took a little longer, I think, than most people expected to get there, Svensson. Mm-hmm. But now that he's there, he'll probably be there to stay for a while.
I think he will. So what's the situation? You got to go pick up the kiddos?
Yeah, I got about 5 minutes, so I'm out the door here.
Cool. Well, I mean, we got a good 55 in. I think it was pretty nice. So, you know, no reason to run down to the wire. Last week we had Matt Every on, and he had to go get his kids as well. And he's like running to the car, and we're still doing the podcast. So we won't do that to you.
I'll have to turn that one on and listen to it. I'm driving up to the lake here with my kids right after this. So I'm gonna probably put that pod on and let the kids watch a movie in the back.
Every's good. Cal was a good one. All of them have been pretty damn good. We're having a good time with it. What'd you say? Wait, what you say, Renner? You think we're having fun?
No, I mean, we've been really lucky. We've had great guys. I mean, Graham's an ace. I mean, it's like, you know, you get these good guys on here and they tell their story on their journey to how they got to the PGA Tour. And, you know, I think a lot of people think, oh, there's the kids that just, you know, had golf like given to them or something. But then you listen to a lot of these stories and like, man, they're just regular dudes, good athletes, like great guys. And, you know, they found a way. And it's cool for, you know, guys like Graham to share the story of how they did it.
Yeah, exactly.
I appreciate it, boys.
Yeah, you're always somebody that I've respected very much, and I appreciate all the you know, compliments you made about me, and coming on was an honor to have you, bro. I really, really appreciate it.
All right, boys. Well, hey, good luck with this. I hope it turns out fucking great for you.
I mean,
awesome, guys. We'll keep the pedal down.
Chipping in, and I hope you have a great afternoon.
See you, fellas.
All right, brother.
All right, that ends episode 12 of Tier Time with Graham Dillette. It was another solid one. Every episode's been very, very fun. Fun to reminisce with these guys, and they're all just so talented. And it was just great to play with them and know them. And now they come on here and lend us their time. So it's a beautiful thing. And so, yeah, that's the end of the show, y'all. Hope you enjoyed it. Everybody stay dear. Episode 12 done.